Psalms 100, Psalm 100. Some of you say, while you're reading that, it's not Thanksgiving, amen? Because the Holy Ghost of God put it on my heart. That's all I can tell you. Psalms 100, listen to what it says. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God, is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Will you bow with me for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the blessed privilege of being here this morning. And our Father, we have no agenda other than to mind the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, the Holy Spirit, our Father, lead me as I preach now. I thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning for Jared and for Aubrey and for Sophie. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in their lives. And I pray, God, as they hunger and thirst after you and after the truth of the Word of God, and I pray, God, you'd help them to grow, help them to be an example of the Lord Jesus Christ and be a witness to others. And I, Father, I pray that prayer for all of us as well. And I pray, God, Lord, thank you so much for the adult choir, Brother Brad, for his dedication to you and for the choir, Lord, for anointing them and blessing them this morning. And for the children, Lord, how we thank you for hearing little children sing about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and how they love him. And Lord, we know that you loved us before the foundation of the world. And God, I thank you for those who are working with them and, Lord, those in Sunday school today. And I pray, God, now for your anointing. Our Father, help us, oh God, during this time. I pray not one person leave this building lost, not one person leave here not right with you. Oh God, do grant revival, and we'll thank you and praise you and give you glory for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Brad mentioned to you that we had a group, I think 13, who went up to the revival on Friday night, and they estimated had somewhere around 6,000. We got there close to 6 o'clock. We couldn't even get under the tent. Tent holds 3,500. They would have had chairs set all around everything. No air conditioning. No air conditioning under the tent anywhere else. And it's hot. And there were cars, trucks, vans, buses from all over everywhere. And people out there in that heat. You know why? Because they had a hunger for God. They recognized the fact, just like Hannah, when she cried in desperation for that boy, that God, you're the only one who can do it. You're the only one who can give birth. You're the only one who can give spiritual birth. You're the only one who can birth revival. But thank God, God can. But thank God, he will. And thank God, he is. And that's an encouragement to our heart. And he's no respecter of person. If he does it one place, he'll do it another. We're praying for revival to sweep across this land. I want to be faithful. I want to put out as many CDs as I can. I want to witness to as many people as I can. I want to preach as many revivals or as many meetings as God wants me to preach. But I'm going to tell you, what will make the difference is when the Holy Ghost of God comes in power, the atmosphere is completely different. And you pray for C.T. Townsend. He'd never done a tent meeting before. Brother Randy Hobbs, the pastor of New Hope, they had no idea. They started on Mother's Day for a little 3-day revival, and God moved in. They've been praying on Monday nights for 15 years for revival, and God answered that prayer there in Burlington in an awesome way. And it's been going on. They'll continue on. We don't know how many days or how many weeks they'll go yet. But that's just the presence of God. There were people there who drove there from Texas on Friday night. People from up in Tennessee and other places who drove all the way there because God was doing something. And as Brad said, there's over 100 that got saved that night. It's an awesome service. God's real. And thank the Lord for that. But he's no respecter of persons. He'll do it anywhere. We're praying. Brother Randy Perry is going to start with us the last Sunday of September in revival. But we're believing God to meet with us a long time before that. And so you pray that God would bless. Here in this psalm, I read this psalm, and it's a very simple psalm. I want to just go through and point out a few things to you this morning. He said, first of all, that our praise ought to be vocal. Say amen. 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 Well, some people say, well, I shout on the inside. I praise God on the inside. Well, if you're not careful, you'll give yourself a hernia doing that. But the Bible said, let everything have breath, praise the Lord. Say amen. Amen. He expects your praise to be vocal. He expects it to be vocal. He expects that your praise will be visible. He said this. He said that you live the life. He said, Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord's our strength. And he said, God's give us joy and give us peace. And he said, there'll be some occasions when someone come to you and they want to know a reason for the hope that's in you. When they see your life David said on Sunday night, on Wednesday night, I was talking about ministering to ourselves and psalms, spiritual songs, so on, hymns. And David said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit. He set my feet on a solid rock. He established my going. He put a new song in my heart. And then he said this, many shall see it and fear. Fear means to come under conviction. And my dear friend, when people see the presence of God in your life, they see the joy of the Lord in your life, God can use that to bring conviction in their life that they need what you've got. They want to know the reason of the hope that's in you. And then you can tell them it's Jesus. He's the only one. Now, sometimes that's in good times that they see your testimony. But sometimes it's in bad times. Do you remember when God, the three Hebrew children were thrown in that fiery furnace? And they were thrown in there with the intent that they were going to be burned alive. And the heat was so intense that when the guards went to throw them in, many of them died from the heat blast that came out of that furnace. And they were thrown in there. I don't see anything good about being bound up and thrown into a furnace. I don't know if any of you want to sign up for that ministry or not. But to sign up, but you say, oh, that's an awful thing for them to go through. But when the king came and looked in the fire, he said, how many did we throw in the fire? And they said, we threw three in there. He said, but I see four. And the fourth is like the Son of Man. Can I tell you sometime when you're going through the most horrific time of your life, the most fire trial time, the most suffering in your life, that's when people will see Jesus where you are. They'll see Jesus in your life. You'll be a testimony and your praise of Him will be visible. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. And sometime when you're going through the worst time of your life, that's the best time for you to be a witness for Jesus. You don't have to preach a long sermon. You just have to live a faithful life and to praise Him. He said in this passage of Scripture, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Your praise ought to be vocal and it ought to be visible. But notice something else. He said, serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Your service ought to be, it ought to be viable and it ought to be voluntary. When you serve the Lord, you don't serve Him as a drudgery. And listen, Brother Tim preached, I don't have to, I get to. And that's a wonderful message. But my dear friend, when you serve the Lord, you ought to serve the Lord with joy and with gladness. That's how you ought to serve Him. He's been good to us. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to come on Sunday night. You don't have to come on Wednesday night. But there ought to be something inside of you that says, He loved me, He died for me, He gave His Son for me, and I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many of you believe that day is coming, that Jesus is coming? It's getting closer and closer every day. Well, if you believe the Bible, He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The closer you get to the return of the Lord, the more you ought to be faithful to the house of God. And my dear friend, listen, I thank God for the good number we've got here, and we've got a good crowd this morning, Sunday school and everything. But it's hard for me to keep up with everybody. And people come to me from time to time, and they ask me about so-and-so. And I hate to say it, but sometimes it just jogs my memory that they hadn't been there in a couple of Sundays. But I got to thinking about this. If there's somebody sitting near you and you miss them, don't come and ask me where they are. You find out where they are. They're you're sitting near you. You love them. You pray for them. Call them. They expect the preacher to call. They might not be expecting you to call. If you call them and say, look, I love you and I miss you. I miss you sitting near us. I love to hear you sing. I love to shake your hand. And I miss you this morning. You know, the Bible said we ought to minister to one another. You ought to reach one another. And my dear friend, listen, you and I, our service ought to be joyous. I mean, you ought not to feel like, boy, I've got to do vacation Bible school. I've got to do this, got to do that. Brad asked me the other day, would I teach the teens one night? And I kind of put it off on Roger. I said, Roger, do it. I'd be more than glad to do it. But I love to see other people get participating in and serving. And I told him, I said, I really don't like to do anything during vacation Bible school except walk around and see the kids and see all that's going on and enjoying that. But whatever you do for the Lord, it ought not to be a drudgery. It ought to be vibrant. It ought to be alive. Thank God. Don't drag around and do something for God. Praise God. Didn't you love these kids? And the one little precious girl right there, when she got up there, it was time to sing. Praise God. I like that. And she got a little bit embarrassed. But, Mama, don't feel embarrassed about that. Thank God. I wished I had a whole church full of folk that just come in the house of God and they were ready to sing. They had a song in their heart and they were ready to sing for the glory of God. My dear friend, listen, your service ought to be vital, viable. It ought to be lively and it ought to be voluntary. Praise God. I want to serve God. I want to be obedient to God. But notice something else on down through here. He says something not only about that, but he says something about his people. Know ye that the Lord is, he is God and is he that hath made us. Understand this. God made you. God fashioned you. He created you physically. But thank God when you got saved, you became a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. He gave you everlasting life. That's enough reason to praise Him. That's enough reason to sing unto Him. That's enough reason for our testimony to be visible. The people say, we love the Lord. He made us. He fashioned our bodies. He created us. But He gave us everlasting life. And thank God, I'm glad I've not only been born once, but I've been born twice. I got born physically, but I've been born again by the grace of God. But then He goes on and said this. He said, not only is He our Creator? But He said, but we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Now, notice that possessive pronoun. We are His people, His sheep. Paul writes it like this. Here's what he said. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You know who owns the sheep? The shepherd. I go out on a man's farm and he's got a field full of cows. So whose cows are these? These are my cows. These are my hogs. These are my chickens. I own them. They're mine. And did you know that God created you and He saved you, but He owns you, body, soul, and spirit. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. And then Paul goes on and says, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit and in your life. Everything about you ought to glorify Him because you're His. You're possessed by Him. But he said, you're like sheep. And sheep not only are possession, but they are protected by the shepherd. And thank God, my dear friend, that you have a shepherd who loves you. And you know what Jesus in John 10 says about the shepherd? He said, the shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You know how much Jesus loved you? He loved you so much that He died for you. And He shed His blood for you to save you and give you everlasting life. And the Bible said that we are purchased, we are redeemed, not with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. You love people. You love things. You're willing to sacrifice. You want this boat or you want this dress or you want that. And so you'll sacrifice. You'll put money aside. You can't do this if you're going to do that. You got to save your money for that. You're going to sacrifice for that. He loved you so much. You know what He had to do? He had to lay aside His glory. He had to lay aside His royalty. And He clothed Himself in a human body. And He bought us on Calvary's cross. Peter said, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're His. He's going to take good care of you. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also freely give Him all things? You're His possession. You're His blessing. Notice verse number 4. He says something also about a place. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. We come into this church house on Sunday. We are coming here blessing His name, being thankful. And that reminds me once again to remind you that God expects us to assemble with believers. He said you're to love one another, you're to pray one for another, you're to forgive one another, you're to edify one another, all those things you're supposed to do. And you do that in the ministry of a local church somewhere where you get close to families and you get close to people and love them and minister to them. That's what it's all about. Listen, He said you ought to assemble together, you ought to worship. And then I want you to notice He said in verse 5 something about His purpose or His person. For the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting and His strength endureth to all generations. Notice the three things that we reemphasize, and I emphasized this some last Sunday. David was keenly aware of God's goodness. He said in Psalms 23, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy. This word good, God is good, is the same Hebrew word. The Greek translation would be gracious. He is full of grace. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. I remind you once again, grace has given me what I do not deserve. It's God's remedy at Christ's expense. It is Him giving me what I do not deserve. But He said He's not only is He good, gracious, but His mercy endureth, is everlasting. Boy, I'm glad His mercy doesn't run out on us. I'm glad that His mercy is extended to us. And my dear, for me and you, it's me not receiving what I do deserve. I do deserve, because of my failure, because of my life, sometimes I deserve the judgment of God. But thank God, mercy has stayed the hand. I love that song Brother Dan sings. Let's see if he's here this morning. Brother Dan sings that song, When Mercy Walked In. Boy, I love that. I was supposed to be in hell today. A lot of my friends are in hell. Years and days gone by. I mean, in high school, I had friends to die lost. I know they were lost. Their lifestyle was lost. They didn't confess Christ. And over the years, I've had folk I know who why they did and I didn't, and why God showed grace to me and why God showed mercy to me, all I can do is just praise Him. If you're saved, you're to come to the church house every Sunday thanking God. If you know the Lord, you're to come here every Sunday praising Him, magnifying Him, assembling together. But then He said this, His truth endures to all generations. Now, if you notice, the word endureth there is in italics. That's because in our English language, we cannot really get the full meaning of what it's saying. The word endureth is tied in with that Hebrew word truth. What it really is saying is this, His truth never, ever, never, ever, never, ever changes. Amen. It endures for every generation. What used to be sin is still sin. What God used to hate, He still hates. What He says about grace is still true. What He said about His blood is still true. And it's true in 2016. If you alter or change His truth, you're violating not only the biblical truth, but you're violating His holiness, because His truth is a reflection of His holiness. It's like spitting in His face. It's like slapping Him with your hand. He's a holy God, and He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and His truth is always the same, always the same. Oh, listen, the wages of sin is death. That won't ever change. The wages of sin is death. That's a truth in the Bible. It never changes. Sin brings death. My dear friend, I don't care what you say in legislation. I don't care what you say in church covenants, agreements, or whatever. His truth doesn't ever change. It's never altered. People may change what they think. They may change what they believe. They may begin to accept things that the Word of God's condemned. But His truth endures forever. Now, I don't have time to go into all of that because that's not Him. This is a wonderful psalm, isn't it? It's kind of what I call a happy psalm. Some of the psalms are dark when you read them. I mean, you read about His crucifixion in chapter 22. It's a dark psalm, dark psalm. And some of the psalms are like that. But this is what I call a happy psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come forth His presence with singing. Know ye the Lord, He is God. It's He that made us, not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be joyful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endureth, is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. That's a wonderful psalm. But notice this psalm, like every bit of the Scriptures, is not a suggestion, it is a command. When He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, that's not a suggestion, that is a command. When He said, serve the Lord with gladness, that's not a suggestion, that is a command. So if we're not praising Him, what are we doing? Disobeying Him. And if we're not serving Him with joy and gladness, what are we doing? Disobeying Him. Did you know there's a consequence to disobedience? I want to show it to you quickly. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 28. You say, Brother Billy, I'm not getting drunk. I'm not committing adultery. I'm not running around on my wife, not running around on my husband, not taking dope, not embezzling money from my company. I must be doing pretty good. He said, you're to serve the Lord with gladness. He said, you're to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts of praise. Suppose you don't do that. I won't read all this chapter. You're to read Deuteronomy chapter 28. But look at verse 45. He's just listed a list of awful judgments that will come on the people of God. And in verse 45, he says, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded. Now, you don't have to answer out loud, but did he tell us that we ought to enter into his gates with thanksgiving? This is yes. Did he say that you ought to make a joyful noise unto the Lord? This is yes. Did he say you ought to serve the Lord with gladness? This is yes. That's not a suggestion, that's a command. And so if you disobey those commands, what's it mean? Oh, you say, well, Brother Billy, he's not talking about that. He's talking about, you know, not committing adultery, not stealing, not coveting. Let me read a little further. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. He said, let me read a little further. Notice what he said, if you will, please, verse 48. Therefore shall thou serve thine enemy. You won't serve God. You won't praise God. You won't attend church faithfully. You won't lay out Sunday night, Wednesday night. You won't come to revival, won't come to camp meeting. And you don't have a joy to serve the Lord. You're not vibrant in your service. You don't praise him. You don't magnify him. He said, cause you disobeyed my commands and you would not serve the Lord with joy and with gladness of heart. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. He shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he hath destroyed thee. He took the apple of his eye, the nation of Israel, and because they would not serve him joyfully, because they would not praise him. Now, how much does that cost? What does it cost you to come to the house of God and just praise God that you're alive and that he saved you? What is that great expenditure there? What is it that you serve the Lord with gladness, that you walk into people's presence with the joy of the Lord in your heart and just say, you know, God's good, thank the Lord for his mercy and grace, and don't do it grudgingly? That's not a big deal unless you don't do it. And then it's a big deal because he commanded us to do it. And he said because Israel would not do that, he put bands of iron on them. He had another nation come in, and they would not serve him, so he let them serve their enemies. Wow. Sin must become exceedingly sinful. When we talk about sin, we always point to somebody else. We point to Hollywood. We talk to the lifestyle of this world. That's what we say that God's sick of. I can tell you what God's sick of. God is sick of people playing church and not loving him, he said, Israel would not serve me with gladness and with joyfulness for all things. Everything you've got, God gave you. And I'm going to tell you right now, God is on point, and you and I are quick to say God's going to judge America because of homosexuality. God's going to judge America for this and for that and the other. But I'm going to tell you right now, here's the real problem. As long as salt and light, you're salt and light, as long as we're doing what we ought to do, this nation will never fall. But I'm going to tell you, it's that close to falling because God's people got complacent. They give up. They won't worship God. They won't praise God. And they don't magnify Him for everything He's done for them. Give Him glory. Give Him glory. Serve the Lord with gladness. I hope every time you go back and read that little psalm, the Holy Ghost of God will get all over you. If you're not serving Him with gladness, if you're not entering into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, because the judgment of God will fall on you and fall on your family and fall on this nation if we don't start doing that for His glory. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Ask God the Holy Ghost to speak to us this morning. Is there any reason that God ought to continue to bless us if we don't praise Him for what we've already got? Is there any reason that God should not cause us to serve our enemies if we will not serve Him through neglect or preoccupation or whatever it is? Whatever the reason, He said, because they would not serve Me with gladness and with joyfulness of heart, He said, I'm going to judge them. You reckon there's any reason God ought to judge you? Have you been faithful to the house of God? Have you entered to His gates with thanksgiving, with praise? Has your heart just overflown or been overfilled and overflowed about the blessings of God on you personally? Forgiving you and you're not going to die and go to hell? And we let everything in the world and everybody in the world keep us from worshiping God, being faithful to the house of God. I said on the other night that most of us see Israel on top of God's favored list and America the second. I'm not sure God looks at us like that. But we look at the world and say, that's why God's going to judge America. But that may not be it at all. You know why God judged Israel? It's because of Israel. Because of the people. Didn't judge them because of the Philistines or the Moabites and the others that they allowed to live when they went to the land that they were supposed to take care of. He judged Israel because of Israel. If He judges America, it's going to be because of us. He said, if My people, which call My name, will humble themselves and seek My face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, I'll heal their land. God's gave us this land. He didn't give it to the devil's crowd. He gave it to us. This nation is your nation. And if it falls, it won't be because of that crowd. It'll be because of those who own it that God entrusted it to. You say, Brother Bill, I don't know where to start at. I don't know what to do. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Serve the Lord with gladness. That's what He wants us to do. He'll take care of the rest of it. Our Heavenly Father, I pray God the Holy Ghost will bring genuine conviction in my heart, life, and the heart of these friends. God, so many things, so many little things that keep people from worshiping You and serving You. God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God to deal with us. Help us to recognize our first responsibility is to magnify You, praise You, adore You, thank You, and then to serve You with gladness. God, whatever You want us to do, we'll do it. We'll be faithful. Pray, God, men be faithful to their wives. Wives be faithful to their husband. They'd be faithful to the house of God together, faithful to their children. Raise them in nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children, be obedient parents. And God, help us to love You. Let's stand together with our heads bowed, eyes closed. I just ask You this morning, first of all, is there a man or woman, a boy and girl in here who's not saved? I want to see God save people. I agree with some others that have said to me, what's going on in Burlington is a great ingathering of souls, but that happened because there was revival. That church and those people and all the others that came, they got right with God, right with one another, And I'm convinced if the church gets right, salvation will come to the lost. It'll be a natural outpouring of the Holy Ghost of God. When God's people are filled, they have genuine burdens for lost people. They bathe them in prayer. They invite them. They bring them. There's a girl there at the revival that has brought people all the way from Knoxville, Tennessee. Brother Gary Snow Sr. has rented a van and hauled people from up around Dobson to that camp meeting, to that revival. God is saved when God's people get right. But if you're not saved tonight, this morning, I'll tell you, God will save you. And I invite you to come. We can help you. We'll pray with you. Ladies will pray with the ladies. Men will pray with the men. We can help you. If you're a Christian here this morning, I want you to honestly answer this question. Have you entered into His gates with thanksgiving? Into His courts with praise? Do you magnify Him? Is your praise vocal? Is it visible? Is your service, is it viable? Is it lively? Serve the Lord with gladness. That's a simple little psalm, isn't it? But we saw in Deuteronomy where He judged them because they would not serve Him with gladness and with joyfulness of heart. You're going to serve something. I promise you're going to serve something. You'll serve sin. You'll serve Satan. You'll serve self. Or you'll serve the Savior. You're going to be a servant to something. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a lot better to be a servant of the Lord than any of the others. I invite you this morning, if God the Holy Ghost spoke to your heart, you slip around this altar. We'll just mind the Lord. I don't intend to be long, but I give you an opportunity right now. Brad, if God leads you to sing a verse of a song or two, you do that. You just come right now. Let God deal with your heart. Will you come right now? God the Holy Ghost speaks to your heart. I know that there's no need for you to come to the altar. That's why when we came into this building this morning, it was filled with such praise. That's why you were magnifying the Lord and praising God, saying amen, raising your hand, glorifying God. That's why you entered the house of God with the joy of the Lord on you. You serve Him with gladness. But the truth of the matter is, you know, that's not altogether true. Just as soon as we get honest, God will bless us. He'll sing one other verse. I pray God the Holy Ghost to hem us up to where we can't do anything but obey Him. It's either going to be revival or judgment. I'd rather have revival. Holy Ghost of God, I believe, God, You spoke to my heart. God, I want to love You. I want to be an example of the believer. I want to serve You gladly, full of joy. I want to enter this place with thanksgiving. I want to magnify Your name. God, when You nudge me to say amen, I'm going to say amen. Praise the Lord. Magnify You. God, I'm not going to sit around. Lord, just choke down my praise. I want to praise You. God, remind me of where You brought me from. Remind me of what You've done for me, all the good things. God, I've got enough to praise You for. Now, folk, I know how life works. I'm a real person, just like you. Something will come up in your life and your family. It will possess you. That's all you'll think about. That's all you talk about. You'll realize out there after a month or so, you hadn't been praising God. You hadn't been worshiping God. You hadn't been magnifying the Lord. The cares of this world choked out your praise and your worship. I'm not saying you don't carry a burden. I'm not saying you ought not to pray. I'm not saying you ought not to take care of business. But I am telling you that the devil is a deceiver. He'll rob you of your joy. You thinking about things and situations. I'm telling you right now, we need to start worshiping Him and magnifying Him and praising Him. And we'll see some of this stuff worked out that we worried about, trying to straighten out. So magnifying Him, worshiping Him. Holy Ghost of God, help people obey You. One other verse. We're going to have to go. Well, you need to come, you come right now. Obey the Holy Ghost. God speaks to you. Just obey Him.